Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that when our abilities, our natural abilities and provisions fail, you're just beginning. There is no end to your ability to resolve issues that face us. When we don't know what the answers are, you are very aware. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence and that you are the God who does for us what no man can do. You do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. So, Lord, oh God, today, we dare think, we dare ask. And we do not ask small, we ask as sons who you have made worthy and granted access. We ask all in faith, knowing that you are faithful to your word, a God who cannot lie. Thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for every one of you here present tonight. It's a privilege and an honor to be of service to you, serving you with the word of the Lord. And tonight, I want you to come with me to the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. This is a passage of scripture that I have preached from for decades. And it's amazing to me how you've gone through a passage so many times and you think you've milked it. And God puts a spin on it. And all of a sudden, it's a different passage. And so it is for me tonight. Because this is not the normal way that students of the word will look at this passage. And I won't dare talk about this passage from the perspective that I'm going to talk to you about it tonight, if it weren't for the Lord that spoke to me and said, look at this passage. This is also what I'm saying. What you've been saying is true, but I want you to see it this way. And all of a sudden, they all fell together. I'm saying, this word of God, how incredible it is. Sometimes it morphs on you, but it's still revealing truth. It says here in John 9, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And that's where the Lord started with me a few hours ago. He said the man was blind from his birth. And he said to me, he said, so are you all. You're all blind. I said, okay. I can appreciate that. But what does this have to do with the passage? And I want you to listen very carefully. I don't know how long I'm going to be speaking to you about this passage tonight, but there is a particular point God wants to get across to every one of us. Here present, those that are going to be listening in days and years to come, and those that may be listening by streaming right now. It says, and as Jesus passed by, as he passed by, he, Jesus, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that's a very interesting question for them to be asking, if this was a man that sinned when he was born blind. Did he sin? So what is the question? The question is, he must have lived another life, another lifetime, before he came to his mother's womb. A mix up of man trying to bring his religious thoughts to the things of God. So people teach religiously about reincarnation, but God's word doesn't teach reincarnation. Where did these guys get this nonsense from? Did he sin? Or was it his parents? Well, you already know he was born blind. So why are you asking, did he sin? He couldn't have sinned if he wasn't born yet. This answers the question of why is there sin in the world? Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? Is this a result of what his parents did? That's why he's like this? Or is it because of something he did? That's why he's like this. And the Lord answered and says, it's neither him nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, we have a punctuation problem here, because it says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So in essence, if you put a punctuation there, then he's blind because God wants to make manifest his purpose in his life. That would be the interpretation. But the punctuation throws us off, because that punctuation should not be there. It should not be a period. The next statement explains what the Lord is saying. So we can read it this way, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work the works of him that what? Sent me. Underline that word sent, because that's the main purpose of this whole message today. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While I have the opportunity right now, I'm not here to start squabbling about what the problem is, how the problem came about, and all of that. I'm here to fix the problem while it is day. While I can see it, I'm going to fix it. Amen? I'm going to pull all of it together, but I want you to understand, first of all, that particular point. I must fix it now that I see it. It's day. I can see it. I fix it now. This helps us deal with the issue of procrastination. So many of us many times procrastinate about so many things. Oh, tomorrow I will do this, and tomorrow I will do that, and next week this, and next. If you can do it now, do it. Praise the Lord. If the problem is there, why do you want it to wait? Solve it now. You have the time. It is clear to you. Do something about it. Oh, let me wait for this person and wait for. That is the way to be overwhelmed with issues in life. While you have the time now, fix it. The night cometh when it is dark and you're not aware of where things are, and no man can work there. When things are all muddled up, you cannot fix it. Deal with issues as you see them now. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's a wise thing to do. So many people are living angry lives. They're angry and upset about stuff. And if you ask them why they're really upset, they don't know why they're upset about anything. Because they keep on shoving things under. And now they're so upset, they're kicking their cat and their dog. And the cat didn't do anything. The dog didn't do anything. And if you were to trace back why they are so upset and angry, you might go 3 years, 5 years, 20 years on issues that they did not resolve, they did not deal with. And because of that, they are blinded to life. Jesus says, I have the ability to see what the problem is right now. I'm going to deal with it right now. When the night comes, no man can work. That includes him. He was including himself in that statement. I can't do anything with it if I don't deal with it now. Now, that assures me of something, that God is a God who does things right now as he sees it right now. He doesn't want to procrastinate. He doesn't want to push things far away until sometime when all things are all mangled up and, you know, all the wires are all over the place and you start trying to detangle stuff. Right now, we've got a problem. Let's deal with it right now. Praise the Lord. That should comfort you. That should comfort me. If I have a problem, God is a God of the now faith who can deal with it right now. He doesn't need tomorrow, next week, next year. He can deal with it right now. So I can trust God to do the right thing by me today while it is yet day. And he's not so interested on where the problem started from. I see the problem now. I solve the problem now. God sent me to do that. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work the works of him that sent me. Father sent me. And in fact, another passage says, even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Yeah? As the Father sent me, so send I you. How was he sent? To deal with a problem while it is day. That's how Father sent me. That's how I'm sending you. Solve the problem. Stop pushing it forward and forward and procrastinating until it becomes a total mess. I sent you. Father sent me. I'm doing the works of him that sent me. Praise the Lord. Now, I still haven't gotten to the main thrust of what the Lord wants me to say to you. I'm there. I'm skirting around it. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, that's what he says about himself. But what does he say about me? He says that I am the light of the world also. Praise the Lord. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the pool of Siloam means the pool of scent. Okay. I want you to listen real good now. Because what I want to say now is simple, but at the same time, very deep. The Lord said to me, he says, I sent him to the pool called Sent. And he said to me, I want you to see that pool called Sent as a pool of purpose, a goal, an objective, a destination, an assignment. And I considered that. And he said to me, until you have an assignment, a destination, a goal, a place you want to go to, you are blind. And that shook me to the core. You know the one thing that most people, especially young people, are trying to find out is simply this. What is my purpose? You see, students go to university, they study in all kinds of stuff. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? What do you want to be? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But do you know that if you ask a little child, what do you want to be when you grow up? There you go. They will say something. Fireman, a police. I want to be a cook. I want to be this. I want to be a mommy. Because it is inbuilt in us to have an assignment in life. And until you have that sense of purpose, something that you feel pointed towards, you will not come back seeing. The Lord was driving that point into my heart and saying, tell my people they have to have a sense of direction. They must wait and listen to me speak to them about what plans I have for them, where I am sending them to. You are here in this church. What is your assignment? What did God send you here to do? Because if you don't know what God sent you here to do, you will be blind. You'll be moving blindly without purpose. And one day you're here, and another day you're not here. But when you have a sense of purpose, this is where God wants me to be, you know where you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Lindsay knows where she's supposed to be. I don't have to go wake her up Sunday morning or at any time, Lindsay, you need to go to church now and get on the keyboard and start playing. You're supposed to lead praise and worship. I don't have to tell her nothing. She knows what her assignment is. And therefore, God can speak to her about her assignment. Therefore, she can lead in worship because she spent time praying and seeking the face of the Lord to know what it is that God wants to do when the pastor comes and is going to speak, so that what she does there and what I do here and what Mama does, everything lines together. I don't go telling her what she has to sing. Maybe once in a while, I may say, I like to hear this song because this is something God is speaking into my spirit. But that's not often. She knows what her assignment is. Kristen knows her assignment. Brother Byron knows her. Byron knows his assignment. Al knows his assignment. Everybody knows their assignment. And they don't need me to push them because they have already been pointed. And therefore, in that area that God has pointed them, they can see clearly. I don't need to see what they see. But they can see clearly. Where has God pointed your face towards? I said, but Lord, you put sand in a man's face. You spat and you put mud on his face and then told him to go wash his face. He said, yes. The mud on his face was to remind him of the fact that he is blind in the natural. And I sent him to the pool of Siloam. Now, that pool of Siloam, that's where a nobody called Solomon was ordained to be king. You say, why do you say Solomon was a nobody? Because Solomon was a result of an adulterous relationship. Solomon's mother's husband was murdered. Nothing about Solomon's life qualifies him to be king. In fact, on the day that Solomon was made king, he did not know that he was going to be made king. He did not know. Other people were discussing it. Somebody else had already taken the position and said, I'm the king, and everybody was hailing them as king. Adonijah was there. His father, David, was weak in bed, not even in the throne room. He's in the bed chamber. But God had an assignment for Solomon, and Solomon was taken to the pool of Siloam, the pool of scent, the pool of purpose. And there he was crowned. Every one of us need to have a sense of purpose, something God has called us to, something God is pointing us towards and says, go to your purpose, the assigned place I sent you to. And when you get there, wash the natural mud off of your face. Wash it with the water of the pool of Siloam. Wash it. Wash your face. And the man went, washed his face, and came back seeing. It is in your purpose, the assigned purpose of God, that you see life as it should be. Today, somebody needs to go to that pool. You need to go to that pool of Siloam and say, God, I've come to the place of purpose, and I wash my face so that I can have vision, sight, the ability to see clearly what the plan is, who it is that I'm connected to. Let me just skip forward a little bit and I'll come back. The Bible says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So as long as he did not see, he was a beggar. As long as you don't have a vision, you will beg. As long as you don't have a sense of purpose and direction to where you should go, to what you should do, you will be a beggar. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for us. The anointing of God destroys the yoke that keeps me in the bondage of being a beggar. Jesus, our Lord, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Poor people beg. They don't have a sense of direction or purpose for their lives. They're just there, stuck. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for any one of us. You don't have a sense of purpose. Every little thing will blow you this way, that way, and everything will become a distraction. Elijah says to Elisha, "If you see me, you can have a double portion of my spirit." We need to have that ability to see. And if you have that ability to see, it must be because you do not allow any distractions. You know what the assignment is. And so even when God brought a fiery chariot and split Elijah from Elisha, Elisha, because he knew what his assignment was, "If you see me, you can have a double portion of my power," refused to allow the distraction to distract him. How distractible are you? That's the question again. How distractible are you? If you are easily distracted, it's because you don't know what your assignment is. And therefore, because you're blind to that, you will remain a beggar. Unfortunately, there are too many people that are easily distracted. They are distracted by titles, distracted by looks, distracted by whatever. Don't do that. Find out what is God's assignment for your life and stick with it. Don't allow any distractions. Don't allow anything to distract you from what God has for your life. Because if you allow the distraction, you will never, never come to your full fullness. You will never come to that place that God has assigned for you, the place of sight. The neighbor said, "Think that's the guy." Is that not the guy that sat down begging? And some said, "Yeah, that's the guy." Others said, "He's like him." But he said, "I am he. I am the one that was without sight, didn't have any sense of direction or purpose. I'm the one. I'm the one that was sitting down there begging because I could not see. I'm the one." Let that be the testimony that people are so conflicted about how to define you. How is it? Then they brought the father. The guy is they just mesmerized about it. The religious people get into the situation. And they drag his father and his mother to the court. And they said to him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" We want to know, how is it that this guy that was blind is seeing now? How is it that this guy who didn't have any sense of purpose or direction in his life, how is it that he can see now? Because we don't get it. It's still the same education level. So how is it now that he's breaking every record, making it in life? How did this happen? because he got direction. Go to the sent place. Be a problem solver. Father sent me to solve problems, not to complain about the problems, to solve them. God, make me a problem solver. Hallelujah. Make me a problem solver. That's how you and I get to see. I was speaking somewhere this afternoon. After service, I was speaking at another ministry. And I said to them, you know the word of God says, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I said, do you know what that means? My cup runneth over. Jesus says, can you drink from the same cup that I drink of? And he was talking about his service, what he was assigned to do. I said, when God anoints you and your cup runneth over, it is God giving you the capacity to solve more problems. If you want to be a problem solver, one that God can use to bring solutions, you break the backbone of lack in your life. Let me say that again. If you elect to be a problem solver, you break the backbone of lack in your life. That's an important thing to know. And when you become a problem solver, God begins to expand your scope and your horizon. You begin to see more things. It's no longer living in the world of feelings. See, the blind man is blind because he cannot see, but he can move around. The only problem is you cannot change his environment. Because once you change anything, he will start stumbling. That makes sense? Because he lives in a world of feelings. Tap, 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 tap. He knows how many steps he needs to take before he gets to the staircase. He knows how many steps he needs to take so that he can get to the kitchen. And he knows how many steps from the oven to the fridge, and how many steps from the fridge to the dining table. So just by the fact that he knows how many steps and everything is in order, he can move around like he can see. Hello? Because he's so natural based. But change anything, and you walk into things, and you trip over things, because you just change one little thing. You move the fridge to the right, and he normally takes 5 steps, and he'll get to the fridge, and he takes the 4th step, and bang, right into the fridge. Oh, maybe I counted wrong. No, you didn't count wrong. Somebody just played a trick on you. But when you have your sight, you can see when it is moved. When you commit yourself to serve, God pours more of his oil on your life. How is it that this guy sees? I'll wrap up with this. The parents answered and said, we don't know. We know that this is our son, but how he got to see, we don't know. We know he was born blind, and we know that this is our son, but how he got to see, we can't tell you. And the Bible tells us why they said that. It says, by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. He's old enough. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. But the word of God explains and says, this word spake his parents because they feared the what? They feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, the anointed one who serves and has a sense of direction and purpose, he should be put out of the synagogue. He should be put out of the synagogue. And so because they could put him out of the synagogue, he said, no, I want this relationship. I want to keep this relationship just the way it is. And so they were not bold enough to say the truth. You know, when you are willing to compromise the truth just so that you can be part of the gang, you've lost your sense of direction and purpose. And too many people have lost their sense of direction and purpose in life. Because, one, they are willing to compromise the truth just because they want a relationship. I'd rather have a relationship with the living God and be subjected to ridicule by man than have a relationship with man and lose my eternal purpose in life and be blind the rest of my life. Make that decision. This is the word the Lord was beating, the drum he was beating in my spirit today. I know this passage well, but I've not come at it from this perspective before. If it were not for the Lord who said, it's all about purpose. It's all about purpose. You don't have a sense of purpose, you will not see. Now, that same principle is seen in different other passages of Scripture, but I never saw it here. But how reliable is the truth of God's word? His parents said, he's of age, ask him. Because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. They wanted to be part of the gang. Do you know, not long from now, you, every one of us, are going to be placed in that particular situation. Do you want to be part of the gang, accepted by the gang, by the majority, or are you going to stand for truth and have a sense of purpose in your life? There are people today in the Middle East, in Asia, they are having to stand for something that they believe, even if it will cost them their lives. They're not willing to compromise the truth that they know. Standing for something. What are you standing for? I'm asking you, and I'm asking me. Do you know what your assignment is? If the reason I stand behind this pulpit is because of how much I'm going to be paid, I won't come. I'll go do something else. But I know my assignment. I know what God called me to do. And the other day I think it was most likely on Wednesday or Friday, somebody was asking me something about ministry, and I was talking about all the things that I have to do, but I said, while saying it, I'm not going to complain. I'm not complaining. And I will never complain, because I don't want anybody else doing what God has assigned for me to do. When I was coming this evening, it's like my eyes were ready to shut down on me. I just finished ministering somewhere else, came home, took a bite, and I was ready to doze off right where I was. But I reminded myself, you have a service to go to. And I said to the Lord, exactly what do you want to say? Because I don't prepare sermons. I've not prepared sermons for the last 40 years plus. I don't preach sermons. I come with the word of the Lord. I listen, hear God speak to me, and say, this is what I want to say to my people. And I come and I say what God wants to say. This is a tenor that I want to carry that service in. I want you to be very low key. This is the atmosphere I want to operate in. And so I go low key. And sometimes it says, today we're going to be on fire. I say, oh, let's go. Hallelujah. But it's what he wants. I'm not here for myself. I'm here because of his assignment. And as soon as I get into that assignment, the anointing is there and I'm ready to go.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Because it's the assignment. That's what I'm sent to do. And God has an assignment for everyone here. Get into your assignment. Because as long as you are not in your assignment, you are going to be a beggar. And two, you're going to be stumbling through life. Waiting for somebody else to satisfy the need of your life. When you are in your assignment, you know how to cook. And you don't have to wait for somebody else to cook it. If they want to cook, great. If they don't want to cook, no problem. I will cook myself. When you're in your assignment, you don't need anybody to come by to feed you. Oh, I need a word from the Lord. I need a word. Every day I need a word. You need a word. And where are you going to get the word? You're going to search the Bible to find a word? No, I'm going to go to church and that pastor better give me a word today. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. But your assignment is to study the word of God so that you can be an approved workman, worthy to be used of God. If the Spirit of God abides in you, you don't need anybody to teach you, because the Spirit of God will teach you. Is that not what the word of God says in 1 John 2? Know your assignment. What is the one assignment? I'm going to ask a question, a quiz question now. What is the one assignment God has given to every one of us to do?
To evangelize.
To When did you last do that? The Word of God says, he that winneth souls is what? Wise.
He that winneth souls not is totally stupid.
Okay. He that winneth souls is wise. Praise the Lord. So, the question is, am I wise or am I foolish? In essence, God has already given me the pointer. Go win souls. Why is that important for me to win souls? Because that's a sign that I am an ambassador of Christ. Hello? I am what? An ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we are ambassadors and we have a message, and the message is the message of reconciliation. Yeah? Okay. So let us wrap this up with this. If you're an ambassador and you're a preacher of the gospel, and you're an ambassador for Christ, and it says there in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, the ambassadors, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's what preaching is all about, isn't it? So what's an ambassador? An ambassador represents a government. True? Now, when ambassador represents a government, the government he represents provides and resources him. Yeah? My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So by being a preacher of the gospel, God says, I get to meet your needs. Ha. Glory be to God. An ambassador has diplomatic immunity. Will you agree with that? So that means when the accuser comes and says, you're guilty of this, I say, I don't plead the fifth. Diplomatic immunity. So he cannot get at me and win anything against me because I have diplomatic immunity. That's wisdom, wouldn't you say? To have diplomatic immunity. And the Word of God says that when you have that, nobody can judge you, even though you judge others. It's the Word of God. Yeah. Diplomatic immunity. Number three, the Word of God says, the angels of the Lord encamp around the righteous. An ambassador has not only diplomatic immunity, he doesn't travel alone. He has forces that travel with him. Oh. An entourage at all times. That's why I can go to all kinds of places by myself. I don't need an entourage of security guards and whatever else. I go. While I was there in the nation I just came from, there was a guy who came on the stage with an AK-47 right there. I looked, continue what I'm doing. What did he come on the stage to do? To testify that God had healed him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And he was a Muslim. God had healed him. Add my entourage with me already. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you're provided for, you have diplomatic immunity, you have an entourage, and you have in that entourage, not just an entourage of dignitaries that go with you, you have a security force. Yes? You have a security force. So because you are wise and you're following the assignment of God, you have this security protective force, force field around you. But this is the clincher. The ambassador of the United States in Canada is not only protected by the U.S. government, he's also protected by the Canadian government. Yeah? Okay. So what does that mean? It means, child of God, that as an ambassador, the preacher of the gospel, that the not only does God protect my interests, the devil makes sure that nobody of his demonic entourage messes with me, because messing with me is messing with my government. Is that wisdom or not? So if you're wise, you connect. You connect. That's your purpose. God has already given you a purpose, an assignment. This is what I want you to do. You are a preacher. You come from such and such a country, and this is the platform that you've got. Whatever the platform is. For Solomon, he was the son of David and king in Jerusalem. That was his platform. God has a platform for every one of us here. Something that some place that he's placed you strategically to reach certain people with the word of life. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of your assignment. Because when you have your assignment, that's when you will truly be fulfilled. You'll be fulfilled when you know what your assignment is. I know what my assignment is, and I'm fulfilled in it. I know that my primary assignment is not to be your pastor. I know that. This is something God has called me to do so I can understand pastors and minister to pastors and stuff like that. But my main assignment is to be an evangelist. So I'm my happiest when I am evangelizing. Amen. But thank God for the grace that He's accorded me to grace me with the ability to teach the Word of God, to operate as a pastor, to operate as a teacher of the Word, to operate in the prophetic, and to operate in the apostolic. So I feel at home everywhere because I know what the assignment is. Right now, my assignment is you. So I feel at home. What's your assignment? Do you know your assignment? If you don't, then the first thing you need to do today, when you step out of this place, is say, God, I need for you to show me what you've assigned me to do. I know you took me and brought me to Glory and Peace Church. What have you assigned for me to do at Glory and Peace Church? How am I supposed to serve there? Who is it that I'm supposed to impact? What am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, I want you to clean the washroom. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll go clean the washrooms. I want you to sweep the church. Okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I want you to go knock on the doors in the neighborhood and tell them there's a service going to be happening at the church at 1296 Main Street at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Please go there because God is going to meet with you there. Oh, we're having special meetings Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 6:30. You need to be at that church because God is going to do something for your family. And you go to the next one. God is going to do something in your family. We're inviting you. Come. God has an assignment. God wants to meet with you. I came to give you your appointment letters. God wants to meet with you. So I don't know how God is going to use you. But whichever way He chooses to use you, I assure you, you're going to come back seeing, celebrating, thanking God. Jesus, our Lord, sent his disciples, 70 of them, two by two, and they came back returning, and they said, wow, wow. Even the demons were subject to us. Huh? And Jesus says, is that all? Don't rejoice about that. You should rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the book of life. All this miracle stuff, it's great, but the real deal is that your name is in the book.
In the book, amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen? Let's get doing that which God has called us to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you have an assignment for every one of us. First assignment is for us to come, receive your word, and declare your lordship over our lives. I pray, Lord, O God, that everyone here today faithfully made that connection. And by so doing, have experienced the transformation that only you can bring to our lives. Lord, whatever it is that you've called us to do, help us to do it. Help us, O God, to go to that pool of Siloam and wash off the dirt that represents the natural life that is fallen and defeated, to wash that off of our faces so we can see like you see and return, knowing, O God, that your light is in us and therefore there is no occasion for stumbling. Touch every son and every daughter here. We commit, O God, the events and happenings of this week to you. The night of celebration and praise and worship this Wednesday at 6:30. We thank you, Lord, for the move of your spirit. As a worship team, O God, leads us into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And we ask, O God, that you'll touch all of our hearts so that we can give generously to helping them cut their CD. A CD that's going to be a blessing to the nations. We ask, O God, that the meetings, O God, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 6:30, every evening and Sunday morning, Lord God, be graced with the grace of breakthroughs. And Lord, O God, that we will see you as we should and change to that same image. Give us a true sense of who you are. Help us to see you clearly. The blind man said, this is a strange thing. You say this guy who healed me is a sinner? It's a strange thing. God can hear sinner. He saw you for who you are. His peace. And Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that we'll see you as you really are. And as we see you, that we be transformed to the same. Help us to do the works of our Father while it is day. For as you said, when the night comes, no man can work. We have day now, Lord. Give us supernatural speed to accomplish everything we need to accomplish speedily and efficiently for your glory and honor. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us honor the Lord with our giving at this time. And while we are coming to give our special expressions of thanksgiving unto the Lord, let the announcements for this week be aired and streamed so that everyone sees what is going to be happening. Okay. Praise the Lord. Please take note of this one. This is the first time you've seen this. This is a praise and worship experience on Easter Monday. That will be happening. And does it have the address of where it's going to be happening? No? Okay, let's make sure we have the address on there. It's not going to be, this particular one is not happening here. It's happening down Pembina somewhere at Rhema Church. Okay? So, but a daughter in this house, Sister Deborah, is going to be hosting it. It's her concert. And so, please be reminded about that. Let's have the address for the next set of meetings. Praise the Lord. God bless you. May God continue to uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. May his peace garrison your heart. May this month be a month that you will see the backbone of lack forever shattered off of your life. For everyone, may the peace of God spur you on. May God grant you supernatural speed, grant you access, cause things to fall in proper alignment for you and for your household. May the divine health of God flow through your body. May you have reasons to celebrate every day, because the goodness of God crowns you, crowns you, crowns you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you on Wednesday.